Last week we talked about control, and the big question we asked is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of that you hang on to control? And you need to write that down. It's a really important question, because control is really the center of all your problems. And control can be very strong, it can be very hateful and mean control, or it can be very subtle or guile. You know, guile is a very subtle control. It's a very manipulating way of thinking. Say this so they'll do this. And it's very much devising evil in your heart. But the bottom line about control, when you stay under control, you'll probably have the false judge telling you how bad you are. You'll have your mind going in a million directions trying to figure everything out. You won't have peace. And you'll worry. You'll have anxiety. If you have anxiety, you have control issues. If you don't have peace, you have control issues. You feel like you can't trust God. And so to get free from that, you have to go deeper. And why do I not trust God? There's a lot of people who come here who have a lot of issues with enabling and entanglements and codependency. And what I'm learning is, you don't even think right. I mean, you don't mean not to think right, but you've allowed the enemy to control your thoughts for so long that you actually identify with those thoughts, and that you think they're your thoughts. You think it's you analyzing the situation and trying to come up with the right answer, when really there's a spirit who's trying to stay in control of your mind, and he'd like to take your sound mindness, and he keeps you in fear. And so God wants to heal those broken places so you can trust God. And I know Terry, if you were in her group, I'm sure she probably shared how she saw a place where when we were younger, she was attacked. Well, what happened is, I had a really big mouth. Can you believe? And I got in a situation where somebody way back took advantage of, you've heard the story, but it was supposed to be a party, and it was going to be my first teenage party, and then they wanted my brother to come. So after I planned the party, was all excited about my first teenage party, they told me I couldn't come because then my brother wouldn't come, to which my brother didn't want to go anyway. But I was so hurt that I really took on vengeance. It's the first time I really took on vengeance. It's on another tape back there. But what happened in this long thing of, then I made this person's life pretty miserable, and I did a lot of very mean things, called her names, wouldn't let her hang out with anybody. I always kind of had a sphere of influence, so in the neighborhood, and not that we were in a really nice little neighborhood. It wasn't like a gangster kind of neighborhood. I mean, our idea was fun, was walking the whole neighborhood backwards. I mean, that was our big thing, We thought we could walk the whole neighborhood. So we're not talking heavy duty here. I mean, I never even smoked or drank or anything like that. I mean, so I wasn't that kind of bad, but I did have a big mouth. And I made sure that this person knew that I was going to use my mouth to hurt them for using me like that. And I've gotten healed from all that. But it's funny how these little things really impact your life. Well, what happened years later, this person started hanging out with people who were a lot bigger than me. And we were driving by in our convertible, a couple of us girls, teenagers. And the guys that were with these girls looked over at our convertible. And I know it was dark, so they really didn't see us. It wasn't about that. But they said, "Ooh, I wish I was in the car with those girls." And when these other girls looked and saw who those girls were, we became enemy number one. And anyway, and they really tried to kill us and ran us off the road. We had to take them to court, the whole thing. But anyway, or get warrants. But Terry, at one time, we were at the skating rink, which is where we used to hang out. And we were kidding. We used to do these things where we'd use the person's name and we'd call it a drill. And what it meant is, when we say that name, everybody rolls their windows up and locks the doors. And at night, we kept the convertible top on. So we were kidding around, and we're sitting in the car, and we just yelled out that name. It had to be the Holy Spirit. Didn't know much about him then, but we yelled out the name, and we all did the drill. The minute we rolled up the windows and locked the doors, they jumped up, like three of them, at the side of our car with knives. And the one thing they always wanted to do was to cut my face as bad as they could. That was their big thing. They wanted to cut my face as bad as they could. And they really, really would have done it. It wasn't one of those situations where they wouldn't have done it. So I think Donna was driving, because Donna always had to drive, because she didn't like my driving. So I drove till she turned 16, but then she drove after that. forever. I never drove after that. Donna drove. So Donna was, her foot was shaking so hard, it was really scary. And we basically had to close our eyes and step on the gas. And fortunately, they jumped out of the way, but we had to leave Terry there because she was lollygagging around in the skating rink, not knowing her sisters were out in the car about to be killed. But she was really traumatized when she came out and they grabbed her. And they kicked her and wanted to hurt her. But one of the girls said, oh, leave her alone. She's the good one or something like that. And that's another whole story Terry will tell the rest. But bottom line was Terry bought a lie that we wouldn't protect her. And that lie, based on some other things in our family dynamics, caused a lot of mistrust. It caused a lot of issues. And we were talking about this, and I'm just saying this to tell you, this going to the deep places and getting healed, it is about the Holy Spirit taking you back to childhood things and bringing completeness and truth to where there was lies. And in her, what she did, when we were talking about, the Holy Spirit showed her, showed me, that Jesus was the one who caused her enemy, because this girl had been very hateful to her earlier when she was younger, and had caused even her enemy to bless her. And in her thinking, the lie was, you can trust your worst enemy more than you can trust your sister. And so with that, there's always been this area of self-protecting, and I can't trust her with helping my kids. I can't help her with this. And all these different things that she saw, and just this dynamics. But it's really cool if you let the Holy Spirit take you back to those places now, especially if you get the inner healing teachings, and you come some and you begin to understand how to separate the person from the spirit, when you understand you are specifically targeted by the enemy to destroy your life. I don't know how it works, but I believe that when you're born, you very well may have angels assigned to you that have something to do with the call on your life. And or else God's bragging about you. Something's going on because the enemy attacks the very thing that God wants to do with your life. So if Terry's supposed to be part of Beauty for Ashes Ministries and be a dynamic minister learning these teachings, Satan attacked her to not come here when she was little. And so I'm telling you, it's time to quit letting that thing in you blame anybody else and get real with it. And you've got to know when there's no peace in your home. You've got to know. You've quit defending evil. Quit defending wrong thinking. What are you running from? Nobody's going to judge you around here, try to hurt you. I have heard about everything. I don't even know. And please don't try to outdo some of the things I've heard. But I have heard just about, I can think of worse, but I don't want to. I don't want my mind to go there. But I'm going to tell you what, if I heard the most disgusting thing in the entire universe, it wouldn't surprise me. The devil is horrible. He's evil. He's horrible. And he's going to use every hurt place he can in anyone to cause shame and to cause secrecy and pain. So we need to see that control is an area that you don't trust God to protect you. You don't trust God to use other people to protect you. It's an area where you have to be very independent. It's an area where you've taken on different things. Even one of the things I say, evasive. Being evasive is actually a control. Being evasive is, I won't tell anybody too much, and then they can never use it against me. I'll avoid having to argue. I'll avoid dealing with things. And it's an avoidance, evasive kind of thing. And you need to ask the Lord to get that out of your heart, because it'll stop you from being able to have what God has for your life. It'll stop you from being able to confront in love what needs to be confronted in love. It can make you blind to what's going on in your own home. You might really take on being evasive to not have to answer things specifically. Then you'll have children who might pick that up because this stuff goes to generational lines, or did you? And then they won't answer you. So you'll ask a question, and because you don't get a direct answer, you just say, okay, I asked. Well, there are ways to ask children things to get right down to what you need to hear. You can actually ask questions so specific that they're either going to have to straight out lie to you or straight out tell you the truth. And you can make, you don't let your children be evasive, and don't you be evasive. Don't be evasive as a parent. Don't be evasive as a spouse. Don't try to have another person have to guess what's going on in your thinking. Communicate. Lack of communication is control. And it gives Satan so much room to lie to you about what the other person is thinking, what the other person is doing, what is going on. I used to have these entire scenarios in my head the enemy was putting there about things my husband was thinking when he wasn't talking to me. And honestly, he was honestly thinking about work. It had nothing to do with me at all. He wasn't evading me. He wasn't avoiding me. He was actually thinking about something at work. And by the time the enemy finished in my thought life, I thought he was going to divorce me, that he hated me, that I must have made him mad about something. And I was so upset with him for all. I mean, I could have gone and just punched him just for, you know, for nothing. Because Satan had worked all this stuff, and I learned to quit listening to the accuser of the brethren. Quit listening to what the devil says that somebody else is saying or somebody else is doing. Quit listening to that in your own head. You've got to start recognizing. Let me tell you something. Any spirit that operates in your thinking, and that's where they operate mainly, is in your thinking. Any devil that operates in your thinking is going to want you to think it's your thoughts. There's only two. The devil has only two things that he can do. He either wants you to think it's your thoughts, so you identify with him and he gets to stay, or he wants you to think that it's God's thoughts, and then he can make you hyper-spiritual, hear a false voice, and you think it's really God, and there's no fruit in your life. You're not, people aren't really drawn to you. You're not becoming Christ-like. It's delusional. You're a self-deceived. You hear the word, but you're not really a doer of the word, and there's a lot of that going on in the church. And so God wants, you got to realize, Satan, your own thoughts as a Christian should actually begin to line up with God's word completely. If you've been a Christian for even a little bit of time, you should be renewing your mind in the word of God. Why? Because that's going to tell you what your thoughts are. And the thoughts that don't line up with that, especially if they cause you to analyze, to try to be in charge, to control, to second guess somebody, to undermine somebody. All of those thoughts are coming from the enemy. And when you give him that kind of access to your thinking, he's going to keep you in fear, and he's going to keep you trying to be in control. Control is not always the mean, dominating, in your face, you know. It's not, that control is pretty easy to understand. You still, some people buy the lies that they deserve it and all that crazy stuff. I'm going to teach it on that. It's called enabling. But the more subtle control is the devil telling you little things. The devil trying to make you wonder what your kids are doing or thinking about you. It's the things where you start to worry about things, where you try to figure things. If you try to figure everything out, then there is a spirit of fear there operating, and you've taken on control to try to handle everything, and you're using your intellect to take the place of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what God can do if you would get out of the way. It's amazing. If you'll get rid of guile, which is trying to subtly manipulate or control your situations or people. And let me say this. When you do this stuff in families, especially in families, but it can be in ministries and all too, but mainly families, you have to see it as entanglement. We got a teaching. We have one teaching on entanglement somewhere back there. You really need to get that. And it'll be half price tonight since I'm mentioning it. But entanglements, it's like the devil puts his web around you here and around you here, and you get so in there you can't get out. You need to hear God and obey God, and you need to know that he loves you, he is who he says he is, and you need to quit taking his place in trying to protect your children and trying to make them do everything right. And I can't get into all this, it's too much, but I'm trying to break some of this down. Let me talk really quickly. There's some lies out there about control in the body of Christ, and you've heard the lies about that we're supposed to dominate. How many have heard the lies that we're supposed to subdue the earth and dominate? Okay, well, it's all out there. It's, the faith movement has it, the prophetic movement. The Bible never says that. I mean, we are to rule over, the Bible says. We're to rule over animals, which means we're to take care of them. You know, we weren't under the curse when God did all that. So people weren't thinking of eating what you're not supposed to eat and beating up things and kicking things and, you know, trying to be bossy. Nobody was thinking like that before the fall. So when God says rule over them, he really means take care of them, be in charge of them. And somehow, you can go read Genesis, but they've made this up. They say that we were created to have dominion on the earth as if over spiritual things. It's not true. We didn't need dominion over spiritual things until the fall, because God was taking care of everything. We weren't supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So we were just to live in a nice, very sheltered environment that God made for us to enjoy the whole world and leave everything to God. And after eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and knowledge of evil, after eating of that fruit, because Eve was tempted by the enemy to want to be like God, that's the biggest temptation everybody has, and then to twist what God has said, that's the spirit of error, that's all over. Surely God didn't say that. And that's when she started letting that seep in. Anyway, when she did all that, now Adam's thing was, Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived, okay? Adam wasn't deceived. Adam chose Eve over God, is what I believe. See, Adam knew that Eve had disobeyed God, and I believe he started thinking about, he ate the apple, or whatever. He ate the fruit, which made him starting to think. But he ate it because she wanted him to. And he didn't want to lose her. That's what I believe. And then from that point on, boy, he blames her. And we got the whole blame thing and this and that and childbirth mess and all kinds of brothers hating their other brothers and jealousy. And boy, they just opened up a bunch of mess. And then Christ came, died for all that mess. So we have a place to take all that mess that we've participated in the past, all that mess that's come against us, and even some of that mess we might still fall in. And we have a place to take it. And Christ took all that sin to set us free from it. But he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Why? So we would no longer eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil and be in control. We are to be led by the Spirit. And there's a really good teaching back there called the mind of the Spirit versus the mind of the flesh. Control and worry reveal that you are operating in the mind of the flesh. You are operating in the mind of the flesh. God wants us to not be double-minded, because he can't give anything to you, because he'll give it to you one day, and the next day you're doing what you want to do, and you're listening to the devil, and then one day you're over here, and you're being led by God. And it's now, we're being purged and changed, okay? So God is a good God, and he puts up with us. You know, he's long-suffering. But God wants you to realize this. I can't do this stuff for you guys. I was praying about it because people's lives are messy and their families are messy. And I have to read the Corinthians and Galatians and all the other church messages to realize this has been around from way back, and it wasn't Paul's job to fix it. It was just his job to have you imitate him as he imitates Christ. As he gets free in Christ, you see how to get free in Christ. And that's all I can do. That's all really leadership can do, or anyone can do. But